Throughout history, remarkable men and women have left behind ideas capable of changing the course of a life. In each episode, we'll explore one section of a timeless book, uncovering the enduring wisdom, practical lessons, and powerful stories that continue to shape thoughtful lives today. These are more than book summaries. They are an invitation to join great dialogue that has connected generations of readers, leaders, and lifelong learners. Welcome to the conversation. Welcome to Dialogue on Dialogue.
Welcome back to the Dialogue on Dialogue podcast. This is Benjamin Franklin's autobiography, and this is part 6, Build Your Reputation Before You Build Your Fortune. People often ask, what's the secret to success? Benjamin Franklin's answer probably wouldn't be a business strategy or an investment tip. It would be something much simpler. Become so good and so trustworthy that people begin creating opportunities for you. Chapter 7 marks the point where Franklin stops looking for his future and starts building it. But what's remarkable is that his success wasn't built on luck. It was built on years of preparation, hard work, strong relationships, and a commitment to helping others improve along with him. After returning from London, Franklin accepted a position as a clerk working for a friend who planned to establish a business in Philadelphia. It seemed like a promising opportunity, but as often is the case, life had other plans. Both men became seriously ill, and Franklin's friend actually ended up dying. Once again, Franklin found himself starting over. Rather than becoming discouraged, he returned to what he knew best, the printing trade. He approached his former employer, who welcomed him back with open arms and offered him excellent pay. At first, it seemed like a very generous offer, but before long, Franklin realized there was another reason why his former employer wanted him back. The printing shop was struggling. Many of the workers lacked the necessary skills, and the owner wanted Franklin to train them, improve production, and get the entire business operating efficiently. Franklin did exactly that. He organized the shop, he trained the employees, and dramatically improved the operation. Once he had finished or gotten it to a really good place, however, the owner informed Franklin that his wages would now need to be reduced. Franklin recognized what had happened. His employer had wanted his expertise, but not his long-term value. So Franklin resigned. Sometimes, knowing your worth means being willing to just walk away. Around this time, another printer named Hugh Meredith proposed a partnership. Meredith's father agreed to finance a new printing business if Franklin would join his son. Franklin patiently waited while finishing important work for his then current employer, including helping to secure a significant government printing contract. During those negotiations, something interesting happened. The influential men involved quickly realized that Franklin was the one who possessed the real talent. Although Franklin was still a young man, his competence, professionalism, and thoughtful manner made a lasting impression. He wasn't trying to impress anyone. He simply did excellent work. Soon afterward, Franklin and Meredith received their printing press from London and officially opened their business. Now, starting out wasn't easy, as it often isn't. Every small printing job mattered. Franklin never forgot that one of his friends chose to give their struggling company a small print order when they desperately needed work. Years later, he reflected that simple act of encouragement taught him an important lesson. Whenever possible, help young people who are trying to build something worthwhile. Never underestimate how a small opportunity can mean something so important to someone just starting out. The business gradually prospered. Franklin worked longer hours than his competitors. He earned a reputation for honesty, reliability, and exceptional craftsmanship. Eventually, Meredith's father could no longer meet the financial obligations of the loan on the press. Instead of allowing the business to collapse, Franklin, with the help of several of his trusted friends, bought out Meredith's shares and became the sole owner of the printing business. His years of preparation had finally led to independence, but perhaps the most significant development in this chapter wasn't his starting out in business at all. It was founding something that was called the Junto. Franklin gathered a small group of tradesmen, merchants, and craftsmen, basically people who would wear leather vests to work, and they met every week for thoughtful discussion. Their purpose wasn't to win arguments. It wasn't to secure political points. It wasn't to show who was the smartest. The purpose was mutual improvement. Members discussed books, business, philosophy, science, morality, and civic problems. Franklin even established rules to disagree. Members were discouraged from speaking with excessive certainty. Personal attacks were forbidden. Flattery was discouraged. The goal wasn't to defeat one another. The goal was to discover the truth. Many of these ordinary working men would later become influential leaders throughout Philadelphia. Their weekly conversations helped shape not only themselves, but the city that was building around them. So here are some lessons that I picked up from this chapter. Lesson number one, your reputation is your greatest asset. Again and again, Franklin's opportunities came because people trusted his character and respected his work. He wasn't constantly promoting himself. His work spoke for itself. Your reputation is built long before you need it. Once it's earned, it begins opening doors that money alone cannot. Lesson number two, know your value. Franklin was willing to work hard. He trained others. He improved businesses. But when his employer attempted to reduce his value after benefiting from his expertise, Franklin chose to leave. There's an important distinction here. Confidence isn't arrogance. It's recognizing the value you've worked hard to create. Lesson number three, help the person who's just starting. One small printing job changed Franklin's outlook forever. Because someone helped him during a difficult season, he made it a lifelong practice to encourage young entrepreneurs and ambitious beginners. Most of us can remember someone who opened a door for us. The best way to honor that gift is to become the person who opens doors for someone else. Lesson number four, build a junto. This is the greatest lesson of this entire chapter, and perhaps for me, the book. Franklin didn't try to improve himself alone. He intentionally gathered people who challenged one another to think better, communicate better, and to live better. Imagine if each of us had our own junto, a small group of people committed to honesty, committed to engaging conversations, to learning, to asking thoughtful questions, to helping one another grow. In many ways, organizations like Toastmasters or Kiwanis function much the same way today. Ordinary people gathering regularly with the shared goal of becoming extraordinary versions of themselves. Chapter 7 marks a turning point in the story. Ben Franklin is no longer simply reacting to life's circumstances. He's building something. A business, a reputation, a circle of trusted friends, a community devoted to learning. It's easy to remember Franklin for the lightning rod or the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence, but those accomplishments didn't appear overnight. They were built on the quiet habits we see in this chapter. Hard work, integrity, generosity, lifelong learning, and surrounding yourself with people who make you better. As we continue this journey, one thing becomes increasingly clear. Benjamin Franklin wasn't extraordinary because he possessed exceptional talent. He became extraordinary because he constantly and consistently practiced ordinary virtues better than almost anyone else. Remember, the lessons are older than we are, and they're just as valuable today.